This is Peggy Ann Saltz, and this is In the Groove at 5 o'clock with In Mobi. Chilling out perhaps a bit with my guest, Dirac Desai, Director of Sales, Growth, and Strategy at In Mobi. And did a little bit of digging into your background as well. I mean, it's a little bit of been there, done that. Mm-hmm. You've seen it from the publisher side in the early 2010s when you were trying to monetize your app, so you know the pain there. And then ending up in sales and strategy at the DSP side, all mm-hmm. working at the same time with top brands, top companies across verticals. It's an experience that's given you probably a bit of a challenge, and challenges, I think, are what you really do get into. But we're here into the groove. It's a place, it's a state of mind, it's a hobby, it's a zone. What gets you into the groove?
Well, I think there are different things that bring me to the groove, but I think for me, the primary thing is just a challenge. I think you kind of mentioned it about this, you know, that there's always everything, every difficult problem in the world has some challenge to it. And I think for me, just knowing that there's something we can go and fix and solve for, I think that's what gets me in the groove. And then I also have my own moments where I'm just drinking coffee and just sitting under a tree and just hanging out sometimes, you know.
Well, that's when all the good ideas come, though.
Yeah, exactly.
That is when they all come. Absolutely. And you do like a challenge. It begins and ends with education with you. That's mm-hmm. what I find so fascinating, not just your position within In Mobi, and we'll get to that in a moment, how you're educating the ecosystem, educating marketers. But I was really touched because it's your passion as well. You work with underprivileged kids mm-hmm. in areas of the world where they don't have access mm-hmm. to programming, education, mm-hmm. computer science education. And it made me think back in the day, there was a colleague of mine, he said it was all about program or be programmed.
Yeah.
So what is the passion behind that? I mean, you're giving your time, obviously. It's empowerment in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's empowerment and access. I think people talk about a lot of different things and different things, access to different things. There are parts of the world where there's not access to the basic things of food, water, and shelter. But then once you go beyond that, there's also education, which kind of empowers people to take care of not only them, but the generations to come after. So I think the access to education is one of the important pieces. And that's been a kind of a passion that allowing people the access, the primary access, and sort of putting them on the path, which allows them to explore further. That's kind of the passion. That's what we look for.
It goes a bit in a loop in a way, because that's what you're doing at In Mobi. You've put a lot of effort into exactly that education we're talking about, Scan4. I'll get to that in a moment. But I guess the question for me is, it's almost autobiographical. Why do this? Why do this at this level? I mean, there are a lot of companies out there talking about what you can do and how you need to do it at a very high level. No, you go deeper. It's almost as if it's, as I said, autobiographical, bringing back memories of maybe some of your pain points as a publisher, perhaps.
Yeah, kind of in some way, because I think when I was a publisher early 2010s, the mobile world was pretty new. Everybody was building apps, was trying to figure out what is going on, how can we grow the apps. We went down the organic path and grew, but I think we realized over the period that there are a lot of other sophisticated tools that needed to be in place. And interestingly enough, around that time, In Mobi was also one of the publishers that we had integrated to monetize our apps. So I have my sort of association with In Mobi goes back then to 2012-13. And then In Mobi itself goes back to 2008. 2007 was kind of technically where we started, right? It's a really interesting journey how things have gone over the last 10 years. And to your point, yeah, it's kind of autobiographical in some way, because three components to that, right? One, addressing your own pain point. The second component is addressing anybody else's pain point, mm-hmm. allowing people access to certain things, making it easier for them. And the third is sort of being the torchbearer of a change and making sure that we're going down the right path and building the industry.
Liking that analogy a lot, yeah. Because you do have to show the way. It is very murky mm-hmm. out there currently when you think about scan. And one thing you talk about is how scan is currently, the current state, mm-hmm. and you compare it to a three-legged stool.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
One is almost mended, which mm-hmm. is measurement. We've mm-hmm. got our heads around that. However, optimization, yeah, that's another story. targeting, of course, mm-hmm. another. Tell me a little bit about this analogy and how you're using this maybe to guide what you're doing at InMobi, what you're spearheading, the path, as mm-hmm. it were, that you are showing us.
Yeah. So I think the way you look at it is the three-legged stool, right? It's a stool that if it's stable, you can jump on that stool and reach higher spaces. The same thing with user acquisition. If you have the three-legged stool, which is the right way to target the right people, have the optimizations to have the sophisticated tech layer and be able to measure that accurately, all three things together will allow you to do the build, test, learn approach pretty quickly and use that stool to sort of amplify your growth strategy and reach the higher places and grow your business, right? Now, with SKAD Network coming in, that kind of broke all three parts of the stool. And measurement was kind of mended, like you said, right? Because Apple came up with a framework and they said, okay, we're going to give you this one leg of the stool back. So it's kind of rebalancing the stool in a way, or sort of, you know, removing the old stool and building a new stool type of situation we're in right now.
Probably something excites you, though. I mean, you could almost say, yes, it is not great what we have currently, but mm-hmm. for many people, they call it, you know, it's really leveling the playing field. It's really a new start to take it. And you've even said it yourself. You're quoted as trying to talk about a renewed optimism. Mm-hmm. So there's something good here. And a lot of marketers are looking back. Yeah. You look ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of looking back. There's a lot of respite the resistance. And it's just a common theme with change. It's the whole story of early adopters and then followers, right? So with any new product, any new technology, there's always early adopters. This, with SKAN, there is a set of early adopters even in the marketer's world. But at the same time, we are starting to get to that tipping point where we have to, if we're ready, we're going to see a sea of people following it pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And what we are trying to do is trying to play our part as a company, as a thought leader who can come in and reduce the time between the early adopters and that rise, sort of that hockey stick you see. So I think what we want to do is we want to make it quicker and easier for people who want to adopt and jump right in.
Well, talking about adoption, I'm just looking at this. I mean, you started down this road in 2020, so mm-hmm. you were earlier than most, seeing that if, you know, SKAN basically doesn't work if we all aren't certified by Apple, and you mm-hmm. were experimenting. What was that? Was that a hunch?
I think there's two parts to that. One is it's just the DNA. The DNA overall as a company for InMobi has been to sort of be as innovative as possible, build different solutions at different points in time that kind of solves for the problems at that time. 2007, in India, nobody was doing any mobile marketing is where InMobi started. Yeah. InMobi started doing mobile marketing, building SMS-based models, and then building a performance company, and then slowly building a network to the exchange, to the DSP. It's kind of, it has been an innovation and a ride for 15 years. Ethos has been pretty clear that we want to be innovative, bring out the solutions for the industry, stay ahead of the curve, right? So that's one thing that kind of drives that. Then the other piece was we foresaw that pretty quickly, because if you follow the industry closely, you will see that Apple teased SKAD Network in 2018.
Yes.
A lot of people did not read too much into it, mm-hmm. but we did. And around the same time, we also thought that this is a good idea to start prepping for something if this becomes a reality. And it quickly became a reality. Mm-hmm. So. And then we tested significantly with limited tracking devices to solve for that using a proxy. So that has kind of put us ahead of the curve in some way.
So it's not just about you understanding what's coming next, but also communicating that to marketers. Now, marketers, they are starting to move. But tell me about your conversations in the industry and what you're telling people who are on the fence.
Our message to those people is pretty simple, that if you don't jump right now, you're going to have to jump at some point. So how about this? Let's jump together. And we will see if you're trying to learn how to swim in the sea of SKAN, we want to be the instructors or the party who helps you, right? So I think the idea is pretty simple, that at some point you're going to have to learn it. If you learn it in the beginning, you are going to do it with a limited portion of your budget. You're going to do it with a structured approach, right? And there's not a lot to lose to begin with. And you slowly learn over the period. Let's say if you had started with SKAN 1.0 or 2.0, 2.0 to 3.0, pretty significant time, about a year now, right? And now 4.0, you learn over this period. But if you're not doing it right now and not focusing it, and you suddenly have to now jump into the sea with 4.0, it's going to be hard. So we would just say that do not wait. Let's just jump and we will swim with you.
Some marketers want to do exactly that, but then they're also thinking, okay, so what do I tell my boss or someone over me? I wouldn't say the numbers will drop significantly, but you will see a shift. And a lot of people don't have a lot of patience for that, or they simply don't want to take the risk. So again, it's not just about education. It's about making people bolder, braver, helping them say something and find a script that they can use when they're explaining their actions, when they're explaining their decisions.
Well, that's an interesting question. It's about being bold, right? Like you said. So it's harder to explain or drive that boldness when you are not ready. You cannot force someone to play a game. You can always create the field and the environment and the situation for them to be able to feel comfortable to do it. So what we do is we do the same thing, right? We want to conduct sessions where we take them through different ideas of what does this really mean. Conduct a full-length workshop on SCAN where we take them through what is it about SCAN. You start with the timeline, you talk about all the different versions, get into the 4.0, what does this really mean for them, include a checklist and all that type of stuff, which helps them prepare, kind of do their homework for them in some way, and then take them through that, right? And that is what we're committed to. We have done it, we continue to do it, and we want to even expand down that path now.
So now there's a different type of InMobi. It's more of a, as you said yourself, a guide, a Sherpa, hand-holding, helping, masterclasses, workshops. I mean, what's it like now at InMobi, the culture?
It's pretty great. It's full of enthusiasm. We have a lot of different products that we work on. And the ethos remains the same, that we want to be ahead of the curve, build some innovative products, and we continue to do that. But while we do that, I think the idea is to handhold the industry in places where we need to be. Because if, let's say, we're ahead of the curve, we also want to bring people with us together to test certain things, right? We are looking at it from a consulting lens, right? That I am trying to be your partner in growth. I want to be the consultant. And I don't want to be just a media partner who comes in, runs that campaign for you, drives your results and just goes away, or just, that's a transactional relationship. That's not what we're interested in. What we're interested in is being the full-scale partner in your growth journey and helping you in places where you need the help and wherever we can bring our expertise.
That's very interesting, not being a transactional partner, because that's what the industry was built on at the first. I understand your motivation for that, but just overall in the industry, what has happened to change this mindset, to think about really long-term partnerships?
That's a great question. And I think industry still needs a lot more work on that front, especially on the performance marketing stuff, because it is really, really performance focused. It is really results focused.
Yes.
So on the brand marketing side, you see this happen a lot where you have partners and companies who have longer term partnerships. On performance, it's still very transactional. But I think a lot of this education piece is going to sort of change that. The change in the industry is going to do that, right? It's not only SCAN. There is also a lot of other channels. The world is changing. The technology is changing. And with technology changing, there's going to be a lot more options, a lot more new areas that people can invest in. So how do you find someone who can help you through all of these? One example of that would be, we're hearing all this talk about AI, right?
Yeah.
Not just talk, proof of AI, especially GPT-4, mind-boggling.
It writes marketing copy.
Yeah. Not just marketing copy. Now GPT-4 writes a product, writes a software. GPT-4 can pass a bar exam, and lawyers can. A lot of prospective lawyers can. I mean, that's the funny part of it, right? So the reality is, how do you use that type of technology, right? So for example, what can you do? Can you use generative AI to create creatives and test 1,000 different creatives without even having to put your creative team through that 6-month cycle of producing 100,000 creatives, right? You can do that. So having a partner who can perhaps help you do something like this, who can also do SCAN, who can also do some other interesting channels like influencer marketing, on-device media, and all that kind of stuff, someone who brings a lot of value across the board. I think that's where the industry is going to shift, or should shift.
And I can feel from your interest and passion about education, your background, that you want to tinker with AI and some other things at InMobi. Is there anything that you can maybe lift the lid a little bit? Because that passion must be based on something other than your interest.
For me, yes, it's a matter of passion. I've academically been trained for computer science and data science. So that's something I've done. What I do today is very different than what I actually went to school for. I think from an InMobi lens, yes, we're doing a bunch of things that are kind of in tandem with that. One of the things would be, I would say, the bidder itself, right? Mm-hmm. We've built this bidder for scan, and that bidder leverages a lot of AI stuff. And we are going to continue to do some of that. And in the future, you will hear more about what we do with the generative AI stuff.
Interesting, yeah, because that certainly did make the headlines, having the first bidder of its type. Maybe congratulations in order, because it is a first. I understand why that's important, but help me understand in the scheme of things, in the framework of things, why this particular step is a milestone step for you.
The success of any performance campaign was dependent on a very strong bidder, has always been. Now, with SCAN, the targeting, measurement, and optimization, all three legs were broken. Measurement was a little bit there, but again, the primary signal or set of signals that the bidder would rely on to drive the value were gone. So I think for us, it's a monumental achievement to be able to build a bidder which is leveraged by machine learning or partly AI, ML, AI, and bring the same value that the pre-scan bidders would. In fact, in some cases, maybe even more value. So, and we are the first in the industry to do so. So we're not only adopting SCAN, but we have also built a bidder that focuses on the autonomous capabilities, right? We started out, it was a bold idea when we started building that. We had gone through a bunch of testing and stuff, and now we see success. And I think that's why it matters the most.
Tell me about the testing that went into that. I think it was something, don't have the numbers right now, but a significant number of installs that you were learning from. Tell me a little bit about what is going in to making certain that this bidder is not only smart from the start, but able to evolve.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great question. I think two parts to that, right? One, for anything on SCAN to be successful, all the parties have to be ready. Some of the primary components are the DSP and the SSP. Since InMobi is a DSP and SSP both, we kind of take care of that part, right? I think right now, if I look at the traffic, about 85% of InMobi traffic is SCAN 3.0 compliant, which is massive.
And that's nuts. Yeah.
Yeah, and in fact, SCAN 4.0, it's 10% right now. I just looked at the data Friday, it's 10%, which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
So our team on one side is consistently working pretty aggressively on adoption. On the publisher side, the same thing we do on the advertiser side, right, where we continuously work with the advertisers and test the campaigns and real-time campaigns, right? We're testing these in the real time and comparing that data with the previous data, with the probabilistic data, and continuously improving. One of the main pieces is the contextual signals, the signals that you use. And also very important is the intelligence that you use in using the available tools. You only had 100 campaign IDs. How do you use those? Well, if you are intelligent enough, you can use those 100 campaign IDs in 100 ways. So we did some of those things. You know, there's a lot of secret sauce that goes into that, into sort of, you know, building that recipe. But God, that recipe is delicious.
And you share it, which is good. So you're putting together something that's a great dish, but you're also sharing a lot of people at the table, which is in itself interesting to orchestrate that, because you understand it has to be the advertisers, the publishers, MMPs, other companies. Tell me a little bit about that orchestration to make certain, you know, the dinner table is full and everyone's happy.
What we say is that for anything related to SCAN to be successful, you need six parties to be ready, right? The advertiser, the demand side platform, the supply side platform, the publisher, the MMP, and then Apple. Apple is ready because they kind of orchestrated the whole thing.
They own the table, I think.
Yeah, they own the table, right? But they also have the seat on the table. So they're like, well, I'm sitting on the table.
Yes.
InMobi as a DSP and SSP, we are ready. We are getting the publishers ready in certain cases. Also, in some cases, InMobi is also a publisher. We do have a side of the business, which is a B2C side. We own apps. We do have some other things. So we are kind of a publisher in our own right, but we do work aggressively with publishers to also, you know, drive the adoption. Well, interesting piece is we also work with the MMPs hand in hand, testing all the different things on SCAN continuously, you know, working through different campaigns, testing. And you know, that starts from not just measurement, but also the reporting side of it. So we work with the MMPs pretty closely to drive adoption, and in certain cases also sort of, you know, test campaigns together. Do a lot of product to product integrations, product to product meetings to sort of, you know, drive some sort of thought leadership on in that area, and also not only thought but product leadership as well. So as a DSP, we're ready. As an SSP, we're ready. We're driving the publisher adoption. See, Apple is ready, and MMP, we're also working with them, and they're also ready. So now it's just the advertiser who needs to be ready. And once they're ready, we're going to have a good table full of all the people who can enjoy that delicious meal. And that is what we're trying to do. We're trying to also, you know, bring value to the advertisers and bring them to the table and drive that adoption as much as possible.
So I have to ask, because nobody wants to be late for dinner, but as you said yourself, it's a little bit of a delay. Sometimes it's really just a mental thing. It's a feeling that this is new territory and I'm going to wait and watch everyone else.
With any change, there's going to be a group of people who are risk averse. And to me, there is not a lot of risk here. Of course, it is complex, but then the way is always through. You cannot sit there and win, right? You're not going to be able to weather the storm sitting there. You have to go through the storm if you want to just to make that waves. And this is not even that big a storm. I think a lot of, and I think the bigger piece is there is a lot of misinformation about scan in general in the industry. So what that does is that indirectly sort of, scares people. It's there's a bit of hoax and a bit of a real problem. So someone, I think first piece that needs to be addressed is telling hoax and the real problem apart, and then coming with a strategy on addressing the real problem. And how do you do that? You can only do that by finding the right partner and being bold enough. And I always say this, right? One of my favorite, one of my most favorite sports person would be Michael Jordan, right? Now, if you trace back, and if you've watched Last Dance, or if you trace back what Michael Jordan achieved in his life, right? For the first 10 years, he did not win anything. But it's about persistence. It's about having that belief and being able to get there. And once you assemble the right parties together, you can achieve greatness and change the game forever. So I think the same thing here, right? You sit there, nothing's going to happen. It's kind of the same. It's kind of like the people that Michael Jordan had in that room, when in that little story he says, when he's just a rookie, he sees everyone is partying, nobody cares, because everybody thinks that it's so hard and Bulls can never win, right? If you keep thinking about that like this, right, that, oh, it's so hard, I don't know if it's going to happen, then it's never going to happen. You just have to dive in, figure out, find the right parties, right partners together, put together that winning team. And I think the same thing in this case as well. The winning team for an advertiser is going to be the right DSP partner, the right MMP, the, you know, of course, having the right team internally who can help them with the scan preparations and sort of build, you know, building that winning team together.
Well, you're making quite an effort with your workshops and your programs, but I have to also say that as a non-marketing person, I was also impressed by just a very basic checklist. Taking all the anxiety out of it. It's like, oh, it's four pages, nice clean bullet points, I've got this, right? Why don't you walk through just a little bit of that with me to help me understand and help our audience also understand what's in it and how they can use it?
I think there are three components to that. First is finding the right team. We already talked about it, so I won't beat the dead horse there. I think the second part is around using that right team in the right way. And I think the most important piece is going to be the conversion value mapping, right? Because the biggest problem has always been, especially with the IDFA not being available, the problem is how do you tie that back? Install, yes, Apple can help you with that, but now with 4.0, they can help you with all the conversion values as well. So being able to efficiently use the conversion value mapping for your own use case, and driving that knowledge into the product updates and monetization on your side, I think that is going to be the critical piece. And how do you achieve an optimal conversion value mapping is what we cover in some of that checklist part. Then there is also other piece, which is around, you know, testing. That is very important. You have to test. You have to allocate a certain part of your budget to make sure that you are testing it in the right way, optimize and learn faster. And so that's the second part. And we also explain in the checklist how to test and what percentage. So how do you, we also go super deep into how can you define coarse grain values, fine grain values, what is a use case. If we are conducting a workshop with an advertiser, we take them through an example of all their events actually and show them this is how you can do it on your side. So I think the idea of how to use conversion values, how to use the postbacks, how to use the timers that Apple provides, how to use the right partners, and how to test. I think it's a mix of five things together, which kind of makes up that checklist. Not really complicated at all. If you go step by step, it's pretty easy.
It also depends, of course, on your app category or genre. Mm-hmm. Are people overthinking this? Are they saying, well, you know, game is game. No, I've got to go deep into the subgenres. Or subscription app, another big one, because mm-hmm. they are very into mm-hmm. thinking through conversion mapping. You know, is it, does it matter or does it just a subscription app? Just want to understand if people aren't just overthinking this and therefore, again, not getting involved and being put off again by mm-hmm. the complexity.
Yeah, I mean, there's some bit of overthinking, but I think you can always deconstruct the complexity. So within gaming, I think there are, if you zoom out, there are two standard models for monetization, right? You have in-app purchases, mm-hmm. in-app ads. So you have IA or IAP is how you typically look at any game. The purchases are where you have subscriptions. It can be the, it can be free to play plus freemium sort model, mm-hmm. or it can be just right off the gate, you have to pay something. It's a paid model, right? It could, the idea is someone is paying something within the app in the beginning or sometime to unlock certain feature. That is one model of monetization. The other is just in-app ads. Now, the primary metric for both is very different, right? Mm-hmm. For example, if I am, and I think it's much harder for in-app ads. For example, if as a publisher, if I, like I was monetizing my app with ads, if I were to create a conversion value map, if I had a game and create a conversion value map, what would I do? I would look at it from this angle, right? Coarse grained and fine grained. So if you, there are three levels, high, medium, and low, and there is 0 to 63 bits, right? So what I would do is for every component, high, medium, and low, I'm going to add two events that make more sense. And those two events could be, let's say, someone who signed up or someone who completed 5 levels, completed mm-hmm. 10 levels. Those could be the smaller ones, lower hanging fruits. And then you go deeper into the use cases, right? Where one of the really good ways to attach the monetization from an in-app ads lens is the number of impressions. Mm-hmm. Number of impressions shown to the user or number of ad slots, right? Some of that stuff will generally give you a good sense of the CPMs and help you drive the purchase. For purchase, it's black and white, right? Because if someone makes a purchase, you use that event as yes. one of the events. It's yes. much, much more easier for them. So I think if a subscription app is thinking like an in-app advertising app and making it complex for themselves, it's a problem. Yeah.
I think that's possibly it because they're thinking a subscription app is an entirely different type
yes.
of model.
Exactly. So it exactly. So I the way I would say is this depends on the app categories, but it also depends on within the app category, what is your actual use case? I think this requires a lot more thoughtful thinking around the monetization of the user. So I think, you know, well, if nothing, what this whole change in the industry will do is bring the acquisition and monetization teams super close. Mm-hmm. If they were farther from each other, I think this is going to bring them really, really close. And if they're close together, I think those teams, those companies will win faster.
Also about winning, people are talking a lot in the industry, and you're seeing it more and more. And you even mentioned it in your checklist as well. You're talking about predictive modeling, bridge measurement gaps with predictive modeling. Mm-hmm. Unpack that for me a little bit.
So predictive modeling is a very standard concept for any bidder or any, let's say in the IDFA world, predictive modeling was only based on predicting the CTRs, click-through rates, conversion rates after the click, and in certain cases, the propensity to click, propensity to convert and propensity to perform a certain action beyond the install, right? Mm-hmm. CTR, CVR, post-install CVR, all those were metrics that typically were used for predictions. And you use those predictions to sort of create these smaller segments of a high value user, a medium value user, or a low value user, right? Where I want to afford, and then you assign a certain CAC value to that. And then you arrive at an overall CAC for your app. And then you sort of look at the LTV over CAC ratios, the ROAS and all that good stuff. In this case, you have to do the same thing. However, how do you do it if you don't have the IDFA? You cannot pinpoint one user. So then you're going to have to pinpoint the cohorts of users. And when you do that, you're going to have to modify your predictive modeling to go from one user to a group of users. So I think that's first fundamental piece. And I think the second piece is with this new technology, there is some bit of thresholds, the privacy thresholds, right? Once you, if you do not hit a certain threshold, Apple makes it sure that you cannot drill down to one user. So in order to sort of work through some of those limitations or some of those constraints, I would not call it a limitation, it's a constraint. So some enforced constraints like privacy threshold, how do you get over that? You use predictive modeling to model the conversion value based on the historical data. It's pretty straightforward. For someone who understands statistics, it's pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. You just have to use the existing data as a proxy to model the conversion value. Even if you're not hit the privacy threshold, you can model the value and use some of that in your predictive modeling as an input, as a feed. Once you hit the threshold, then you always have your system working the way it should anyway. So I think it's the word sounds pretty, complex, predictive modeling, but it's pretty, straightforward.
Pretty straightforward if you can also get your head around dealing with incomplete data sets, which for some marketers is an impossibility. I mean, they're learning to love it now, but it was before, the pillar of truth, that was the data, and that was something to get over. As I said, I have to give you high five on your checklist, removing the anxiety. Let's talk a little bit about the marketer. Let's give them an imaginary scorecard, right? Give them a scorecard for where they are on the learning curve. I gave you a high five for your checklist. I don't know if they're going to get 5 out of 5. Go ahead.
I think I would say that that scorecard, and this goes back to the education analogy, by the way, and this goes back, I think the scorecard is going to look like a bell curve.
Okay, yeah.
So you have some marketers who get 5 on 5 because they are head first and they have been working
with
Scan.
The Thomas Petites of the world, little call out to Thomas, yes. I get it.
I know a bunch of others too who we actively are engaging with, working with, discussing different ideas with. I think they're head first, they're 5 on 5. They're the outliers, right? But then majority of them are there in that median value. It's a bell curve. They're around like 3, right? They were doing the bare minimum, testing a little bit, still relying heavily on probabilistic. I think they're starting to, that curve has to move. It has to be more skewed, right?
Okay.
So I think what if I were to use that, and this is a very interesting statistic and education analogy, right? That we have to move that bell curve, the uniform bell curve, we have to move, transform that curve into a skewed curve, a right skewed curve, which is going to be everybody on this side with 4 and 5. So I think that's one Herculean task that the industry has to, together work on. And we like to play a part in that.
Actually, I was thinking it's not just a Herculean task. It's also a little bit of, I could imagine you a little bit like a Nick Fury, right? Bringing together all the Avengers. You have to have the 6 parties. It's a shield, exactly.
Yeah.
So is that a new image for you? You're getting your head around this? I give you an idea?
Just get a black coat and maybe an eye patch sometime, just be the pirate. But I'm not stealing anyone's attribution, so. Because Apple's not going to let me. No, so I think, that's funny you say that. I think someone has to do it. If we can do it, why not?
Absolutely. Well, I have spoken about education with you. I mean, you've traversed the ecosystem, education, really almost so much of it autobiographical, but so much of it also within what you're doing and what you're hoping to inspire marketers to do. Let's talk about you, though. Mm-hmm. What inspires you?
For me, I think what inspires me, change. Mm-hmm. And that's very interesting because a lot of people don't like change, and I like change. I think there is continuous change is very poignant. There is poetry in change. And I think the idea is that change has to be positive and constructive though, right? So you have to work through some of those things. So I think personal or professional life, the idea is that you have to consistently not only foresee, in cases adapt, and in cases also be the pioneer of change. And that's what kind of leads to better, better communities and better societies and better world at the end. So I think for me, that inspires me the most, being able to play whatever role I can in that change that is positive, that has some positive impact.
But sometimes, you know, when you're so deep into change, it can be a bit as if you're too far ahead and you start to think, am I here or is it maybe the right path or a little lonely out there at the top? I mean, you say, oh, well, I like change, but it's not just that. You have to stay motivated when you have a feeling. When I'm thinking about, for example, in Mobi starting to test this in 2020, it certainly wasn't what the industry was doing at the time. So tell me a little bit, not just how you stay motivated, but how you stay convinced.
That's a great point. Everybody has highs and lows. You know, sometimes you question the path you're on. And I'll give you an example of this, right? Because this was a few years ago. I was in the Himalayas. I've been there quite a few times, but this was like my biggest excursion out in the Himalayas, where I was out there for 10 days, and the objective was to get to Annapurna Base Camp. And it was a 10-day long hike, and I had never done something as sort of, you know, as extensive as you know, as it was. And when I was up there, I think when I was going up there, at some point I sort of, you know, injured myself a little bit, but I kept going. And I think one of the days I had a Sherpa, I had some other people, not in my party, but other parties, other people who were around, right? It's a good community in the mountaineering world. So one of the days, for 3 hours, I was lost, and it was snowing, and I was in full snow, and I was lost, meaning I had lost my Sherpa, I had lost other people, and I'm walking, and I questioned myself a lot, because I was like, is this the right path I'm going on? And should I have done this? Because am I prepared for this, right? But no, I kept going. I think you have to erase the doubt. You have to, there is conviction. Once you have that conviction, right, there is some gut feeling, some conviction. Once you have that, even though you have questions on your path, you stay at it and you put in the honest work, and I think you will get through somewhere. You either succeed or you learn. That's how it is.
I said before about Nick Fury, but I have to say there is some sort of superpower about you, Durak. I have a feeling you stick to it. I mean, it's something that you want to look a little bit into the future. That also takes bravery. Tell me a little bit about where you think we'll be, because you've been working with scan adoption to further it. It's a never-ending job. What can we expect next?
I think the next step, baby steps. We're not trying to jump here from one hoop to the other. It's more of baby steps, slowly learning every new change that comes into the industry. And you know, working through that, creating sort of a textbook for that, or a practice for that, that helps the marketer's job some bit easier, some bit faster, right? So I think what the industry is going to see is, with 4.0, the adoption has to go up, and it's going to be, it will be a game changer in the scan adoption world, right? I think, and generally in the industry itself, because of the sophistication that comes with 4.0. There's a lot of sophistication. There's a lot of room to address those two other two legs of the stool, right? We talked about targeting and optimization both. I think those two stools can be solved or fixed, and the measurements tool will be sturdier and even stronger. Measurement leg of the stool is going to be sturdier and stronger. So overall, I think we are going down the path where the adoption is going to go up overall for scan, and for what it means for us is continuing down this path and taking the advertiser along. And in a good world, by the end of 2023, maybe we'll have a 50% adoption. Then that is fantastic.
Well, I'd say it'd be wonderful to meet again.
Yep.
And then we could talk about it, talk about what you did. And talking about Game Changer, I have to say it has been a game changer to have this conversation with you. I really enjoyed it. And I have to say a high five.
Thank you.
Thank you. At five, the 5 o'clock club. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.